morning. I have to say that.
There are lots of hymns here, like lots of new songs, and they are great, really. So I was really used to different kind of songs in Argentina, in Spanish. So this is really, really good for me. So let me just start today with the next question that is going to be the question I'm going to address for today's passage. And it is this: how can I live a life of love? How can I live a life of love? So I guess if you think on that, you would like to be known as someone who lived a life of love. Someone who was loving with his family, with his friends, with everyone. And in fact, the world in which we live thinks in love in a very particular way. Let me just quote a few singers and writers. So hear this: don't over-sacrifice yourself. If you do, you'll have nothing left to give, and no one will care about you. So don't overdo it. Don't overlove. Andrew Breton says this: love is when you meet someone who tells you something new about yourself. I hear this one: you are the best thing that's ever been mine. That's Taylor Swift. So this is what the world think about love. I would say it's more hunger than love. It's looking in other person something that I need. It's just what I could receive, what I could feel, and what I could have from other persons. But what we are going to see in this passage is great, because Jesus' love is completely different than what the world has to say about love. So Jesus is going to define, and he's going to exemplify what love is. And as Tony said, we are starting a new series on the Gospel of John from chapter 13 to 17. And this is the night before the Lord was going to be crucified, and he decided to go in private with his disciples. He's going to speak to them, and he's going to teach to them personally about what's going to happen to him on his death, about someone who is going to betray him, about his glorification, about him going back to his Father. He's going to teach them how he prays and the necessity of Holy Spirit. And in all that context, Jesus is approaching us as his disciples, and he's going to teach us a valuable lesson about love. So first of all, the question is, again, how can I live a life of love? Number one, and this is part of the answer: by being cleansed. By being cleansed. And as we've been reading, we have a visual aid that Jesus is performing. So he's going to wash the feet of his disciples. And normally when people see this, they kind of think, well, this is the example. This is what we should do. We should wash the feet of the disciples. And the idea is not the best idea, we must confess, right? But it's because it's just a symbol of something greater. And I want you to see that Jesus had in mind a mission and a purpose, and that is the reason behind on what he is doing. So pick up with me verse 3 and check it by yourself there. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Look at verse 1 also. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And he loved them to the end. I was reading a commentary, John Calvin, you know him, he said something magnificent. He says, in John's Gospel, we can see the soul of Jesus. And this is what we have in these verses. This is the soul and mind of Jesus. And we can see he knows what's going to happen with him. He knows and he's conscious about his death, about his coming back to the Father, about his returning to heaven. He knew his hour had come. And the quote is, he loved them up to the end. And with that tone of love, of knowing what's going to happen, with that very tone, he's going to show them the washing of the feet. Because that is related with his mission, with his death in the cross. So we have to have in mind that this example is only going to point us and to lead us to the cross, to a bigger washing, to a supreme washing, to a better washing. And here you have the example. Read on with me, verse 5. So after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So just imagine this scene. Everyone is eating. They are all seated. And what normally happens in that times, in that culture, was that someone was going to wash the feet of the people who was invited to that dinner, let's say. But that people who was going to wash the feet of those people is not anyone. It's not a Jew. It's a slave. It's going to be a slave, but also it's going to be a Gentile. It was a low task to do. It was a really low task to do. So this is when we are all seated in the table, right? And we look at each other to know what's going to happen now. Who's going to wash the dishes? I'm not going to wash the dishes. And they're saying, I'm not going to wash your feet. And the disciples are thinking, I'm not doing this, I'm a Jew. I'm not a Gentile. I'm not a slave. And in that moment, what happens? The one there, who is God, stands and goes and washed the feet of the disciples. So that's what's going on. Jesus is taking the lowest place. Isn't that amazing? What would you think of God? God is the highest being, and he's doing the lowest task and action. That's the God we just praise. That's the God we just worship. That's Jesus. That's quite different to the kings of this earth. And of course, it's funny, right? Because when the disciples see this, they get really uncomfortable. It's like they felt the guilt, right? We should be doing that, but Jesus is doing it. Something is wrong here, right? And so Peter tries to convince Jesus not to wash his feet. Read with me verse 8. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And that is telling us the reason of the visual aid that Jesus is performing. And it is this, that you cannot serve the Master unless the Master has served you first. You cannot serve the Master unless he has served you first. And Jesus is being really clear. You have no part with me if you haven't been washed. Jesus is teaching Peter that unless he has been washed, he's not going to have a future with Jesus. So how do we know we're going to have a future with Jesus? Well, if our feet has been washed by Jesus, by the Messiah. This is pointing, as I said, to something supreme. This is pointing to the cross. So how do we know that we are going to have a future with Jesus at the end of everything? Well, if we've been washed in the cross, not by merely water, but by the precious blood of Christ. Only by that we will know. Because the precious blood of Jesus can wash sins, and not only feet. The blood of Jesus can wash the darkness, sin that we got, and we cannot follow, we cannot be with him unless he has washed us. His blood is much more effective. This visual aid, just a visual aid, pointing to something more supreme, more greater, the washing blood of Jesus Christ. And I think we can transfer these words of Jesus to us today as well. And the question is, have you been washed by the cross of Christ, by the blood of Christ in the cross? Are you going to have parts with him one day? Have you come to the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins? Well, he is right here speaking to you through his word to tell you, come and be washed. And he's going to teach Peter that the washing of the feet is essential, but it is also enough. It's essential to have part with him, but it is also enough. So read on with me, verse 9. So Peter get really excited, right? So they say, then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. So Jesus is saying, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet, because the whole body is clean. So those who have been washed, he doesn't need to be washed again, because the washing of Jesus in the cross is enough, it's sufficient. And still, of course, we have to come again to him to remember that his blood is able to wash our sins every day and every time. And that's good news. Once clean, Jesus' own people remain clean. We have to remember that. There is no sin, as big or small, whatever, that cannot be washed by the blood of Christ. He paid the price with his death, so that we may confident be, we could be purified by his blood. So being cleansed by Jesus is essential, but is also sufficient. The cross is that. It's essential, it's sufficient. But is that all? Let's come back to our question. How can I live a life of love? Well, by being cleansed, and number two, by being cleansed to serve others in humble love. By being cleansed to serve others in humble love. So this is verse 12 to 17. Jesus, just after his example, addresses directly again to the disciples. And he tells them how being cleansed and served by him should change their way of life, their way of living. So pick up with me again, verse 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So here is the example, and the appealing is clearer for us. And so the question we may ask normally is this, and I think this is a kind of normal question, is, well, are you living this? Like, are you doing this? Are you being humble? Are you serving others? And that's kind of our inner least to do thing that we have in our hearts, and we say, yeah, I'm doing this. Or you say, maybe I'm not doing this too much. Or you just take out the law and say, well, I'm doing it well, or I'm not doing it well. But I think here there is much more behind that question of just, am I being obedient to this? I think the order of things is very important. Because basically, if you've been washed by the Messiah, then of course you can serve others. But if you haven't been washed by the Messiah, you cannot live the same love that Jesus is performing. So basically, from Jesus' love serving us, we overflow to serve others. But that's a mechanic. Not otherwise. If you change it, it doesn't work. You can fake it if you want. You can be serving things, serving people, but if you haven't been washed, it doesn't make any sense, because you're not going to have part with Jesus at the end. So it's not about obeying primarily. It's about being washed by Jesus primarily, and then, because of that, serving others. So we have to really think on that. And the joy of that is great. Read on with me, verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So real cleansing will be marked by real obedience. And real obedience will be marked by real joy. And that will make the difference. Let me just think in two things before we finish on those. So basically, we've been cleansed by the Lord to serve others with our lives. But Jim, just let me call your attention to two things that is going on here. One of them is Judas. I haven't spoken much about him because Gareth is going to pick on him next time. But let me just say this. On that day, when Jesus came to wash his disciples' feet, Judas was there, and his feet were washed. Judas was serving the Lord. He was the treasurer. And Judas followed the Lord. And Judas heard Jesus teaching every time. Judas's example is teaching us that it's not about the external cleansing. It's not about the visual aid, the external cleansing. It's about the internal cleansing. And this is what I mean when I say, if we change the order of things, then we can have a problem as Judas. Because Judas hasn't been cleansed internally, but he was serving the Lord. He was doing things for the Lord. He was following him. But We need to be cleansed first, and then we will follow and serve the Lord. And for us today, that we come to church, sometimes could be the same. We could be serving the Lord for many years, for many weeks, for many months. We can be doing things, and we can feel that that's a burden. And we can be lost the joy of serving others. And maybe we need to go back to the Lord and be cleansed. And I'm calling you again to this. This is a humble Messiah who came low to serve us, to wash us, to cleanse us. Don't just get excited to serve things, to put your name in the roster, to do things in the church, to be visible. Be first excited to be washed by the Messiah, and then you will serve with the joy of the Messiah, the life, the love of Jesus. That we, one example. The second thing I want to address is, maybe, and this is what I would think, you can think, well, the Lord cannot cleanse me. I'm just too destroyed. I'm just too dirty. And you may have the same question. Can he really cleanse all my sins? Well, he can. Because he died on the cross. Because of that. So he paid the debt that you should have paid. And my question for that again is, have you come to the Lord for forgiveness? Well, he's here to serve you. To point you to the cross. So how can we live a life of love? By being cleansed by him to serve others. By basically coming to the cross again, being cleansed by him, and serving others, and receiving the joy of that. Shall we pray? Father, this is your word, and I pray you may do something. My heart and the church's heart. Don't just make us a serving church that looks like you in service, but first make of us a washed church by you, by your blood. And I pray that you may help us to be honest today about who you are and about who we are behind you, in front of you. I pray that you may save someone if he has to be saved, and you may cleanse us again if we have to be cleansed. You may encourage us again to keep following you. Thank you so much, because you are not like the kings of this earth. You are a humble servant who love his people and who give your life for us. Thank you so much. We praise you because of that, because that's incredible. In Jesus' name.